Welcome to The Deep Dive, where we unzip the mysteries of life one fascinating fact at a time. Today, we're taking you on a guided tour of your very own DNA. You sent us some pretty detailed research on how DNA replicates and what it actually does, and let me tell you, getting to the good stuff means going way beyond those double helix pictures we all know.
Yeah, it really does.
I mean, we see those pictures in textbooks and you think, okay, I get it, spiral staircase, but it's so much more than that.
It really is. It's much more dynamic than that.
So DNA replication.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds pretty simple on the surface, right? Like hitting copy on a file.
Right.
But the research you sent us paints a very, very different picture.
It's definitely not as easy as hitting copy. Think of it more like a super complex microscopic zipper.
Okay, a zipper.
That can only zip in one direction. To get all of the pieces together perfectly, that's DNA replication in a nutshell.
Okay, so you're telling me the DNA has like a right way to be copied, like a one-way street for genetic information?
Exactly. And scientists, they call this directionality 5' to 3'. And it's crucial because the enzymes that are responsible for copying the DNA, like DNA polymerase, can only add new building blocks in that specific direction.
DNA polymerase. Oh. So what is that, like the little zipper thing?
You got it. Think of DNA polymerase as this tiny little zipper slider moving along the DNA strand, and it's zipping those building blocks into place.
I like it. Okay, the zipper analogy is working for me.
Good, good.
But why all the complexity? Like, why can't it just copy in both directions? That seems a little roundabout. No.
Well, you know, evolution, it doesn't always go for the most straightforward solution.
Okay.
It goes for what works best, right?
Right.
And this directionality, it's essential for maintaining the accuracy of that copying process. It ensures that each new DNA strand is a faithful replica of the original, like having a built-in quality control system.
I like that. Okay, so back to DNA polymerase for a second. Our source material mentions that it needs a little help to get started. Something about an RNA primer. What is that all about?
Right. So DNA polymerase, our little zipper, it's a bit of a diva. It needs a very specific starting point.
Okay.
A molecular runway, if you will.
Okay.
And that's where the RNA primer comes in. This is a little snippet of RNA, which is a close relative of DNA, and it provides the necessary anchor point for DNA polymerase to latch onto and begin its work.
So the RNA primer lays down the first few feet of track for DNA polymerase, our little zipper, to grab onto and start moving.
Precisely.
I'm getting the hang of this.
And to make sure that DNA polymerase doesn't just, you know, zip off the end of the track.
Yeah.
We have other molecular players that are involved, like the sliding clamp and the clamp loader. Think of them as the pit crew, making sure our tiny zipper stays on track and can do its job efficiently.
Wow. Okay. This is way more intricate than I imagined. It makes you appreciate the sheer elegance of something we can't even see happening inside us all the time.
It really is quite amazing.
Okay. That's seriously impressive.
It is.
But all this talk about this intricate process, this precision, makes me wonder, what happens if our tiny zipper, you know, jumps a tooth? Does that happen?
It does, and more often than you might think. The amazing thing is that DNA replication, for all its complexity, isn't perfect. Mistakes can and do happen. And these are what we call mutations.
Mutations, so like typos in the genetic code. That sounds kind of bad.
Well, it can be. Sometimes these typos are neutral, you know, like changing a letter in a way that doesn't affect the word, no harm done.
Right.
But other times they can disrupt the instructions encoded in our DNA, leading to problems.
And I'm guessing our cells have ways to deal with these typos, like a delete key for genetic mishaps.
Exactly. And remember how we talked about DNA polymerase being a bit of a diva?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out it's also a meticulous editor.
Okay.
It has this remarkable ability to proofread its work as it goes along, double-checking each building block as it's added.
Wow.
And if it detects a mismatch, it can back up, remove the incorrect block, and try again.
So there's a built-in quality control mechanism. That's reassuring.
It is. It is. But sometimes even the best proofreader misses a typo, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where things get even more interesting. Our source material mentions this thing called base excision repair. And what's fascinating here is that it's like having a dedicated repair crew that swoops in to fix those errors that slip through.
Okay, so DNA polymerase is like the editor making sure things are spelled right, and base excision repair is the copy editor doing a final check for any lingering mistakes.
That's a great way to put it. This repair system is incredibly efficient at finding and fixing damaged or incorrect DNA bases, ensuring the overall integrity of the genetic code.
But what about those typos, those rare typos that get past both the editor and the copy editor? What happens then?
Well, that's where things get really, really interesting in an evolutionary sense.
Okay.
While we often think of mutations as like a negative thing, they're actually the driving force behind the incredible diversity of life we see on Earth. They introduce variations into a population, providing the raw material for natural selection to act upon.
Wait, so you're telling me that these mistakes, these typos, are actually essential for life to adapt and evolve?
Precisely. Imagine if every single organism were genetically identical. There would be no room for adaptation, no way to respond to changes in the environment. Mutations provide that necessary variation for species to survive and thrive in a constantly changing world.
So a mutation that might be harmful in one environment could be beneficial in another, giving those individuals an advantage.
Exactly. Take the classic example of peppered moths during the Industrial Revolution in England.
Yeah.
Before the factories, the light-colored moths blended perfectly with the lichen on trees, while the darker moths stood out and they were easily picked off by birds.
Okay, so the light-colored moths had a survival advantage in that environment.
Exactly. But when pollution from the factories darkened the trees, the tables turned. The darker moths, now camouflaged, were more likely to survive and pass on their genes. This is evolution in action, driven by a simple change in pigmentation, a mutation.
Wow, that's amazing. It shows how a mistake in one context can be a lifesaver in another. But our source material goes even further, talking about how these mutations can lead to different versions of the same gene, what scientists call alleles.
Right. Alleles are like different variations of the same gene.
Okay.
Each with the potential to produce slightly different outcomes. Yeah. You know how different dog breeds have different traits? Like a Great Dane size compared to a Chihuahua?
Yeah, it's hard to believe they're even the same species sometimes.
Exactly. Those differences are largely due to variations in their alleles. Variations that have been shaped by selective breeding over generations.
So these variations, these alleles, are like the different settings on a genetic control panel, tweaking things like size, shape, and even behavior.
That's a great way to think about it. Now, as we mentioned before, mutations can be neutral, harmful, or even beneficial. Most are neutral, having little or no effect. But sometimes a mutation arises that gives an organism a distinct advantage, making it more likely to survive, reproduce, and pass that beneficial mutation on to its offspring.
So it's like winning the genetic lottery. A chance mutation leads to a new trait that gives a competitive edge.
Precisely. And over time, these beneficial mutations, these winning lottery tickets, can accumulate in a population, driving the process of evolution and leading to the incredible diversity of life we see today.
It's mind-blowing to think that these tiny typos in our DNA are responsible for the entire history of life on Earth. But our source material also delves into a more unsettling side to these mutations, particularly when it comes to something called trinucleotide repeat disorders. What are those? Trinucleotide repeat disorders. That sounds pretty serious. So what are we talking about here? Extra copies of genes gone rogue.
It's a bit more nuanced than that, but you're on the right track. Remember those three-letter DNA sequences we talked about? The ones that code for specific amino acids?
Right.
Well, it turns out that some of these sequences can repeat multiple times within a gene.
Okay.
And while a few repeats are usually harmless, problems can arise when these repeats expand beyond a certain threshold.
So it's like having a word that's accidentally repeated several times in a sentence.
Yes, exactly.
A few times might not matter much, but too many, and the sentence starts to lose its meaning.
Exactly. These expanded repeats can disrupt the normal function of our genes in a variety of ways.
Okay.
And the consequences can be quite serious.
Our source material mentions Fragile X syndrome and Huntington's disease as examples of these trinucleotide repeat disorders.
That's right. These are two very different disorders, but both illustrate the profound impact that expanded repeats can have on human health.
So tell me more about these disorders.
Sure.
How do these expanded repeats actually cause problems?
Well, let's take Fragile X syndrome first.
Okay.
It's the most common known genetic cause of autism. And it's caused by an expanded repeat in a gene called FMR1.
Okay.
This gene is crucial for brain development.
Okay.
And when the repeat expands beyond a certain point, it essentially shuts down the gene's activity.
So it's like flipping a switch and turning off a vital part of brain development.
That's a good way to put it.
Wow.
And the severity of the syndrome often correlates with the number of repeats.
Oh, really?
Yeah. More repeats mean a greater likelihood of developmental delays, intellectual disabilities, and other characteristics associated with Fragile X.
And what about Huntington's disease? How do those repeats cause damage?
Huntington's is a bit different. Here, the expanded repeat is found within a gene that codes for a protein called Huntington.
Okay.
Now, we all have the Huntington protein.
Okay.
But in people with Huntington's, the expanded repeat causes the protein to fold incorrectly, forming clumps that damage brain cells.
So it's like the protein goes haywire, clumping together and wreaking havoc in the brain.
Unfortunately, yes. And because Huntington's disease primarily affects the brain, it leads to a range of debilitating symptoms, including involuntary movements, cognitive decline, and psychiatric problems.
Wow, that's heartbreaking. It's amazing to think that these tiny changes in our DNA can have such devastating consequences for people's lives.
It really underscores the delicate balance within our genome and how even seemingly small changes can disrupt that balance.
And is there any way to fix these expanded repeats, or are they permanent errors?
That's a question researchers are actively trying to answer.
Okay.
There's currently no cure for trinucleotide repeat disorders, but scientists are exploring a range of therapeutic strategies, from gene editing to drug therapies that target the misfolded proteins.
It's encouraging to know that research is being done to find treatments for these complex disorders.
It is, and the more we learn about the underlying mechanisms of these disorders, the closer we get to developing effective therapies.
So we've gone from the incredible precision of DNA replication to the potential for both amazing adaptation and devastating disorder.
Yep.
It really highlights the importance of those cellular systems that work tirelessly to keep our DNA in check.
Absolutely. And it makes you appreciate the incredible complexity and elegance of life at the molecular level.
It certainly does. Well, that was quite a deep dive into the world of DNA. From the intricate dance of replication to the potential for both amazing adaptation and devastating disorders, it's clear that this molecule holds the keys to understanding who we are.
And we've only just scratched the surface. There's so much more to explore, from how our genes are regulated to the ethical implications of new genetic technologies.
So much to think about. And who knows what incredible discoveries await us as we continue to unravel the mysteries of DNA. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. And until next time, keep those neurons firing.